Song says, Lord, as we arise, Father, Lord, I pray that that anthem that we sing tonight will be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, that our worship will be pleasing in your ears, Father. Lord, that each heart will be softened to receive of your word tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'll come and be with each person here, Father. Those that couldn't make it, Father, that you would just come down and touch them tonight. Father, I ask that you'll be with each request, Lord. Our sister Penny French that's hurting in her back, Father, that you'll just come and be a healer to her, Lord. Lord, our brother Jeremy Schreiner's dad, as he just had surgery to remove a kidney and they're thinking of possible cancer or something there, Lord. But we pray, Father, that you'll come down. Lord, that you'll do a mighty work in his life, Father. Lord, that you'll heal every broken body. Lord, every broken spirit, God. Lord, Father, no doubt there's many, Lord, that have been hurt, Father. Many, Lord, that just say, draw me close to you, Lord, and never let me go, Father. And I pray that'll be our prayer tonight, God, that you'll just keep us close in your bosom, Lord. Lord, that you will, Father, let us know that we can be still and know that you are God in every situation. Be with the tithes and the offering, we pray. Be with the ministry of the word, we ask, Father. Give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see it, it's helping me faithfully to overcome my strife. It's guiding me constantly. It's guiding me constantly. Oh, and giving me victory. Amen. The brothers can take up the offering.
The trials of this world were getting stronger, and the pull I felt was more.
Say goodbye. Oh. How many's happy to be here tonight? Amen. We can sing, God's not dead, He's alive. Amen. Oh, God's not dead, He is alive. God's not dead, He's alive.
Time to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, Lord, we love you and appreciate you, God, and we thank you for all you've done in our lives. Lord, we're so thankful to be able to come together again and, Lord, put our licks of fire together, Father. And Lord, you see the things that are upon our heart tonight, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, take it off of notes and thoughts and, Lord, Lord, let it be your thoughts, Father. Let it be, may I say only what you want me to say, Father. Commit myself to you, Lord, and submit myself to you, Father. See the people here this here tonight, the needs, the situations. God, we ask, Father, you just move, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, if you would. Amen. It's good to have everyone with us tonight. Amen. I believe I saw Brother Kenny Camp that was with us tonight. Amen. God bless you. I know you've been in surgery and different things, and sure been praying for you. Amen. And just always good to be able to come back and to worship the Lord and give Him praise. Amen. Also, we have Brother Johnny Waldner here from Cloverdale, and we're glad to have him. Amen. And Sister Kathy's nephew, and amen. We're just thankful that you could be with us. Amen. And all our visitors, if there's any others, God bless you. Brother James Pruitt, glad you're here with us also. Amen. Amen. We're just looking to see what the Lord would have for us tonight and ask God to speak to us. Amen. Let's just read here again, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with him and confirming the word with signs and following. Amen. Amen. We'll let you be seated. If you could turn it up here a little bit, Brother Joseph. You know, we've been speaking on a thought of our mission. And we spoke on, we are still here and our mission is still on. And we spoke about a Navy SEAL that, I won't go through the whole story, but he found himself in chaos. He found himself in with bullets flying around him, grenades going off all around him. Found himself soaked in blood, broke bones, broke back, lying in his own blood. It felt like he was just to give up and want to quit. And, you know, he'd seen all his buddies die and seen all the things and the sickness of war around him. And he just kind of felt sorry for himself and just wanted to give up. But he said something just kind of welled up on the inside of him. And he said, I'm still alive. The mission is still on. And I got to thinking about that, because here's this man in this condition, and he finds himself in a terrible place with, broken back and all the different issues that he was facing. But there was something about his mission that got him up out of that condition and made him go on. It was the power of his mission. And I'd like to speak to you tonight on the power of our mission. What he had been commissioned to do, what he had been told to do, made him take a rock. And it made him take a rock, and he drew a line, and he said if he was alive when he got to the other side, he would draw another line. And he did that for 7 miles. It was the power of his mission that drove him to get up out of his depression. It drove him to get up out of his doubts. It drove him to get up out of his fears. It drove him to continue on. Amen. A mission that was given to him by an earthly government. A mission that's backed by an earthly government. And today I was just reading some things about the training of these men, and I wanted to know, where did he get this, maybe this fortitude to grab a hold of himself and say, you know what, I'm not giving up, I'm not quitting, I'm not stopping, I'm going to continue the mission because I'm still alive. And I read a man's account of his training, and he said, you get to the point in your training to where you're deprived of support from your environment, your support of your own body. The only thing propping us up in our time is our belief in accomplishing the mission. He says, even when the mission seems impossible, it is the strength of our belief that makes it possible. Amen. He said, the absence of this belief guarantees failure. A strong belief in the mission fuels our ability to focus. It fuels our ability to put forth effort, to persist, to keep going. And believing allows us to see the goal. Amen. And so he said, a seal's belief is accomplishing the mission. And in accomplishing the mission, it transcends environmental or physical obstacles that threaten to make him fail. He says, often we think we are indestructible. He says, we're forever the optimists. When we're outnumbered or outgunned, we tend to think we have a chance to make it alive and be home in time for dinner. Amen. He said, but I wouldn't want to die in a cage of starvation or have my head cut off for some video to be shown around the world on the internet. My attitude is that if the enemy wants to kill me, they're going to have to kill me now. And he said, our missions are voluntary. He said, I can't think of a mission that wasn't. Ours is an unwritten code. It's better to burn out than to fade out. Amen. It's better to burn out than to fade out. And with our last breath, we'll take as many of the enemy with us as possible. I thought, wow, I mean, my, just an earthly commission and commissioned by an earthly government. And here it puts such a fortitude in these men, and they're not worried about what obstacles they may face, whether it be the environment or people or whatever, if they're outnumbered or outgunned. That does not change their outlook. They're looking for a goal, and that goal is victory. Amen. Their goal is not defeat. Amen. They're not going into the battle thinking I'm already defeated and I'm going to just die in this battle. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. But they're going into a battle no matter how bad the circumstances is and no matter how bad it looks and how outnumbered they are, how outgunned they are, they're going for one purpose, and that one purpose is victory. Amen. And I believe that is our goal tonight. Our goal is not to start out on this life and to go down in death. Our goal is not to start in this life and become a drunk or become this or that and the other. Our goal is one thing, and that's victory. And we're here for one purpose, and that's victory. Amen. And so I begin to think about the power of this mission. And here this had such a power, a driving force on the inside of him to where he would get out of his blood and he would get out of his depression and he would get out of his thoughts and his doubts and his fears and all these things. And he would just grab a rock and he would draw a line and he would begin to pull forward. What a power that laid there in that mission. And I thought, if a man that was backed by an earthly government could have that fortitude to where he said, I'm not going to stay here and die. I'm alive. The mission's still on. I still have a purpose in my life. And I thought, if a man backed by an earthly government, how much more as a son or daughter of God? What kind of drive should we have in ourselves? Amen. We're not here to fade out or to burn out or to quit. We're here for one purpose. That's for victory. You say, well, Brother Timothy, it's 2015 and it's so dark and it's so chaos everywhere. And this one's falling off there. This one's falling off a cliff, though. It does not matter. You say, well, it looks like we're outgunned and we're outnumbered. It does not matter. We're here for one purpose. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to take as many of the enemy as I can with me. We're here for victory. Amen. And I got to thinking about the power of this mission and the power of this word. We have been given a commission in this hour. They said, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. So in that power, that mission, if I lay hands upon 10 people and they die, that does not change the power of that mission. If I lay hands upon 100 and they die, not one person is healed, that does not change the power that's in the word. Amen. Because his word will not return into him void, but it will accomplish that's what it's sent to do. Amen. I'm not here to die in a cage of starvation. Amen. The enemy to have me some prisoner of war. Amen. Some death camp, some death march somewhere. That's not my commission. That's not who I am. I'm not going to be taken as a prisoner of war. Amen. I'm not going to be taken somewhere and put on some video screen somewhere, some prisoner of war and the head chopped off. And look, Brother Timothy, he used to believe. Look at him. He used to preach the gospel. Now what is he doing? That's not my mission. My mission is to believe this word with everything that I got until the end. Because I know this word has power. I know this word is not just something written on paper that has nothing but ink. That's not what this word is. But this word is the divine thoughts of God that has been expressed through men. Amen. We can see the power of the words. We can see the power of a commission. We can see power in the life of Jesus when he would command someone to do something. Let's look in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. It says, it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which are come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hallelujah. Amen. He's present to heal them. Amen. If you're sick tonight, I'm here to tell you he's present to heal you. And behold, men brought into bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him, and because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Ma'am, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason and say, "Who is which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" They didn't realize God's standing right there. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say thy sins are forgiven thee, or rise up and walk. Amen. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up that couch and go to that house." And immediately he arose. There was power in this commission. There was power in these words. They didn't just fall off the lips of Jesus and hit the floor and harmlessly, but they fell into a life, and that life, that body heard that word, and that body reacted to that word. And immediately arose up before them and took whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Luke chapter 7 and verse 11 says, "It came to pass the day after he went to the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now he came nigh to the gate of the city. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, 'Weep not.' And he came and touched him. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say unto thee, arise.'" Maybe God's trying to tell somebody here, it's your turn to get up. It's your turn to take your part in the kingdom of God. It's your turn to arise. Amen. "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak." Power in words. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, this word still has that kind of power. It'll take men who's been dead in sins and trespasses, and they hear the word, "Arise." Amen. You weren't born for that slop. You weren't born for that world. But you are to arise. Luke chapter 8 and verse 49 said, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.' And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. And he said, 'Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead." I done checked her pulse. I got here before you did, Jesus. I've been studying this case a long time. There ain't no hope. But they didn't know who Jesus was. Amen. "And he put them all out and took her by the hand and said, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished." Arise. There's power in these words. Let's look here in John chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Wheresoever them first after the trouble in the water stepped in was made whole at whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered, said, "Sir, I have no man when the trouble is, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but I am coming, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, yes, sir. Take up thy bed and walk." And immediately was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Immediately. I like to think of God's word having an immediate effect. Amen. Many times we may not see it, but that don't mean it's not having an effect. Brother Brandon was talking about a situation. He said, not long ago, I seen a picture in a paper advertising Sinclair gasoline. He said that was 1 gallon of Sinclair gasoline is big, in a big enough motor could lift the Sphinx so high off the ground. I said, look there. They're advertising that around the world. I said, one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ will raise every sinner to a saint. Every sick person to health again. That's right. They make fun of you for teaching it, but I believe in the old-fashioned, bloody gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe there's nothing else saved in the world. Nothing. None of our psychology, all of our church joining, shaking hands, forms of baptism has nothing to do with it without the shedding of the blood. There's no remission of sin, but this blood cleanses us. And the life that's in this blood is in us now. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we're talking about a power here. Not just something that's powerless, but a powerful God with a powerful word because he backs what he says. He's in discernment. And he says, you come here from a distance to be prayed for. We're talking about the power of the mission. He said, you come from a distance to be prayed for. He said, I want you to do this. You're sure to die if you remain in the condition you are now. You can't live but a little while. Even your doctor knows that. You got to do this, lady. You got to get up above that. Above what, Brother Timothy? Your way of thinking. Come on now. We're talking about this Navy SEAL that if he'd have stayed in his way of thinking, he would still be a pile of bones under a rock somewhere. But his thinking had to change. Amen. He, if he'd have stayed in his doubts and his fears and his worries and his depression and all those things, he'd have still be a pile of bones somewhere. But the thinking began to change. And he began to turn from dying to living. Hallelujah. He began to turn to not dying there, but to begin to move away from there and a thirst for life. And that power, that mission drove him to where he went. Amen. He said, you got to change your way of thinking. You got to get above that. You're down here thinking you're going to die. He said, you're down here thinking you're going to die. Some of you this evening are down here thinking you ain't worthy. Some of you young people are thinking, you know, why am I even living this life? Come on, somebody. I know everyone, and us adults, we've had those thoughts. I've had those thoughts. All of us have had those thoughts. Why don't I just quit? Why am I still doing this? Why don't I just cut my hair? Why don't I wear a little makeup? Now, I ain't had that thought of wearing makeup, but we've had thoughts. Every one of us. I ought to just go somewhere. Nobody cares about me. I mean, nobody knew the man was under that hole somewhere. They didn't know where he was at. Nobody knew. Not even the government. Amen. Your father and your mother may not know what kind of condition you are in tonight. Amen. They might not know the torment and hell that you're going through. But I tell you one thing. We're not backed by an earthly government. We're backed by a heavenly government, and he knows all things.
and He knows exactly the situation that you find yourself in tonight, and He's got the answer for it. And He's telling you, you got to change your way of thinking. I'm a sinner. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I am a son of God. I am a child of God. I belong to God. I came from God. I'm going back to God. I was not born for a sinner's hell or a devil's grave and a devil's hell. I was born for a body change. I was born to leave this world. But He said, your thinking's down here. You got to rise up here where you think you're going to stay. He said, your thinking is that you're leaving, that you're dying, but you got to rise up here that you want to stay. See, you got to get above it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He said, you might want to call it psychology, whatever you want to say, but it's the truth. The thing of it is, you can't come up here unless you got faith in something that'll bring you up there. Hallelujah! I couldn't get up here to believe for healing unless I have faith in something that could produce the healing. Hallelujah! And we have that. We have something that'll produce healing. We have a blood that was shed. A price has been paid. Come on, somebody. Amen. That we can have the faith to rise from our sicknesses and rise up here to be healed. Hallelujah. We have something that we can depend upon. A power of a mission. A power of a commission. They say they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. I mean, I know you believe it because you walk up here sometimes and say, I need prayer. I need an answer. I need God to move in a situation. Amen. I believe that. I know we believe in casting out devils, do we not? He said, you can't come up here unless you got faith in something that'll bring you up here. A lot of times us parents, we get to say, well, I guess I had this one lady, sister, come to me for prayer at a church. Won't call the place, but she said, I have some children that's out in the world. And she said, somebody told me the other day that some of our, all of our children is not going to make it. So you might as well just let them go. I said, well, I don't happen to believe that way. Because there's some scriptures that I hold on to in times. It says they shall be there and their offspring with them and the promises unto them and their children. There's too many scriptures to hold on to, and there's something that we can anchor our faith in that'll bring us from thinking our children is lost and nobody is serpent seed to believing no matter what the situation, no matter how hard they're covered up in sin, God will make a way somehow. Amen. In demonology, he said, and down in Africa one time, he said, I stood there under the Spirit of God, someone sitting out there, it would discern in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he said, it would tell a person what was wrong and like that. And every person would do exactly what you told them to do. Now, he just told that lady, he said, if you stay where you're at and you don't do what I say, you're going to die. He said, but in Africa, they would do exactly what you told them to do. If they were laying, twisted, and bound up, they'd be wiggling. I don't know if I can read this without running around this church. So they'd be wiggling and trying their best to get off the cot. And they'd keep doing it till they could do it. There was no defeat in them. Hallelujah. I believe there's no defeat in a child of God that'll stand upon the word. No matter how many devils has got them bound, they keep wiggling. They keep moving. Hallelujah. And they keep pushing those hands up. And they keep pushing those hands up until joy begins to come and happiness. Hallelujah. There may be some daughters and sons of God that came in depression and they bound up. I don't feel happy. I am so mad at the world. As songs of Zion begin to go forth. atmosphere begins to be told and begins to be created. Word begin to come forth and it begin to wiggle. Hallelujah. How many times at youth camp have we witnessed it? Not just at youth camp, even in this own church. People come that beat bound with demons of cigarettes, demons of drugs, prostitution, whatever it is, and they begin to move. Hallelujah. They come in with withered parts. They come in with their hands withered and their inward parts withered, and the word begins to speak. And he says, stretch forth your hand. Boom. Why? Because it has to obey the word of God. So they're trying their best to get off the cot, and they'll keep doing it till they can. Whoa. Brother Timothy, I failed just this week. I fell again. Keep trying. Y'all probably seen that video, that man, that lady that gave her testimony about the having the baby, was in the discernment line. Said she wanted a baby, and Brother Tim mentioned it. But that man said, this life is not like baseball. Three strikes and you're out. He said, life is like you're only out if you quit swinging. That devil ain't got you until you quit swinging. Hallelujah! Amen, parents! That devil ain't got your children till you quit swinging. But I'm going to swing with everything I've got. Hallelujah! I'm going to keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Wiggling, pushing out, moving. I'm taking my promises. I'm taking what belongs to me. Amen. I'm not walking to Jericho and coming back and saying, we can't do it. I'm a Joshua or Caleb. Says we're more than able. Hallelujah. He said, what we need is men and women today of gallant spirit. Men and women who are determined to hold on till they see God that really live come into action. That they will not take no for an answer. Whew. Determine to stay with it. He said, if you're sick and the doctor has said you can't get well, yet something within you tells you you're going to get well, hold on no matter what takes place. That's the kind of men and women we need to rise on the scene today. If he don't answer tonight, he'll answer tomorrow night. If he didn't answer this year, he will answer next year. For he's not a God, not a God, but he's the God. Hallelujah. Way up on a hill in Jerusalem, somewhere there in Galilee, there was this little woman who spent all of her money. Doctors couldn't do her no good, and she had this blood issue. She looked down and said, this is strange. She said, I was just dreaming about him last night. I was just dreaming about him. My thoughts was on him. You know, Brother Bram talks about, if you start talking about him, he always comes by. So I was just dreaming about him last night, and I believe if I could only get to that man and touch his garment, I wouldn't even have to go in a prayer line. He'd just turn to me and tell me it's over with. If I could just get close enough to him. If I could just get close to him, that's all I need. You see her walk down. There stands her pastor. She looks up. Where are you going, sister? Well, I suppose you're going down to that meeting. I want you to let you know there's orders around here. Ain't nobody supposed to associate with that kind of man. We're going to take your membership. Her reply says, you can just have it. He wasn't the one with the blood issue. Oh my. Oh, here comes around another bunch of people from her church. Said, oh, I'm surprised at you. Woman, this doctors has turned down and can't do nothing for her. And woman, you know, with a reputation, that's you. You got, as a good woman, a reputation of prestige. So you know, Satan yourself with a bunch of holy rollers like that. Never seen such. Very audacity. Days of miracles have passed. I can hear her turn around and say, it might be for you, but it's not for me. Can you just see her wiggling? It might be for you, but it's not for me. Just let me get close to him. She kept pressing. She got to get there. And after a while, another fellow steps in her way and says, I'll just tell you something now, Aunt Liddy. I'm not going to let you go down there to that. We're not going to just stand there around and let you do that. So I can see her stoop down and walk between his legs and go right on through. She's determined. A gallant spirit. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the price, that's the way it has to be. No matter what Sue says this or who says that or what side this is on, it's God's word and that settles it for me. Here she gets down there. She's seen all the people standing around, putting their arms around him. She just slips along behind him and she's still wiggling to try to get off the cot. And all she can do is just reach up, grab the hem of his garment, and she slips back into the crowd. But that touch stopped the master. Your touch tonight can stop the master. Young person, you that's hanging over hell, your touch can stop the master. Amen. We was talking about it this last night at our young people's meeting and our Bible study and prayer. Listen, there's some sitting here tonight that we had prayer for. Amen. Just be thankful somebody's praying for you. There's people with harsh desires. We recounted even last year how we had other young people that was hanging over hell and the wrong step in the wrong direction. It was over with. Or maybe a long way to come back. But God rich in mercy. And they're still standing a year from last year. A year tonight they're still here. Why? Because someone had a vision, had a need, had a want to pray, to believe, to hold on, had a mom and dad to hold on. All hell was going on at the house, but they're still holding on. Amen. We can see them. She reaches there and he turns around. Who touched me? Maybe tonight you didn't want to make a big scene. All you needed was to just get close to him. If I can just get in his presence, you're here. How do you know, Brother Timothy? Because his word said so. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also. Amen. He's here tonight because his word declares that he's here. He cannot deny his word. If he said he would be here, he promised it. And he will do exactly what he said. You're in his presence. Now I wonder how many with a blood issue. You know what, Brother Timothy? I'm not. I don't have that. You have a blood issue, all right. It may not be a natural blood issue, but you have a spiritual blood issue. Amen. Your blood is poison and you are dying and you're going to hell. But all you got to do is reach and touch his garment. He said, I've tried and I tried. Try one more time. I'm trying to lay it all down. Try one more time. He looked around over the audience till she found where she was. And he said, thy faith have saved thee. Your blood issue has stopped. He's the same tonight. Just the same Jesus. If he's risen from the dead, and he has, the things that I do, shall you do also? He said, if you believe, that's all you have to do. And she was healed. Bring it to the ministry of Christ in our generation. You know, you hear people making fun of what happened in a man named William Branham's life. But there was the same people that made fun of what happened in Jesus' life and ridiculed when God himself had come down in flesh. And he's appeared again in this hour. It was nothing but the repeat of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's all it could be. It was the same thoughts that was discerned. We just talked about how Jesus said about the withered man, withered woman, I believe it was, a man with the withered hand. He said, stretch forth, and it went forward. Perfect. Let's read about it in our day. He says, I'll never forget it. Johannesburg, South Africa. I just arrived about 30 minutes before on a plane, and they sent me into a meeting. I seen coming across, and he got in this meeting and started into discernment. And I seen coming across a place, a bus, and it had a sign on it, Durban. I saw a young man had to fuss and slip away from his father and mother to be in the meeting. Had to fuss and slip away to be in a meeting. It wasn't going to a bar room. Probably wouldn't have cared. Wasn't going out with his buddies to go on a binge somewhere and get shot up with drugs. Probably wouldn't have cared. But how dare you go to a spiritual meeting? But there was something with this boy. They weren't the one with a 6-inch too short leg. Amen. He had a need, and he knew he had heard about somebody that could meet his need. And he said, I had to fuss and slip away from his father and mother. One leg 6 or 8 inches shorter than the other. He was wearing a white shirt with suspenders holding up his trousers. And I looked back again, and the vision was gone. In just a moment, I saw a light hanging over a young man way back in the audience. I looked. I thought I'd seen him somewhere, and I watched him, and that light kept holding on him a few minutes. And I was waiting for the interpreter to catch the next words, and I seen the same young man stand up, throw down his crutches, and his 6-inch short leg come down normal as the rest. And I said to Mr. A.J. Schumann, who is in glory tonight, I said, Mr. Schumann, just quote my words. He said, very well. I said, the young man sitting back there in the white shirt with suspenders on, you come from a city called Durban, some 1,500 miles across the country in a bus. He had to slip away from his father and mother to come, but he believed on the Lord Jesus. He's got one leg shorter, 6 inches shorter than the other. The young man jumped up. And there he was, standing, trying to feel for his crutches. Here he had been identified. His life had been unveiled before him. I wonder how many tonight the word has went forth and it's identifying you. And he's still trying to feel for his crutches. And he said, I said, young man, the Lord Jesus has healed you. And immediately his leg come out 6 inches to normal with the rest of him. And they brought the young man to the platform. The doctor's examining there. You can see his picture in my book. Here he was still feeling for his crutches. Could you imagine being caught up in the whole deal? And not realizing you've been healed. But he knew he had been identified. And there wasn't going to no keeping him in his seat. There wasn't no keeping him bound no longer, because something done called his name. Something done told him who he was. Something done told him exactly what he was wearing, where he came from. Hallelujah. There's a word that's being spoke tonight that's telling you who you are. You're not a drunk. You're not a prostitute. You're not a devil's son or a devil's daughter. You're a son and daughter of God. And Jesus Christ is here to touch your life and change you forever. Hallelujah. Same meeting. He was standing there just for a few moments. Seen a little green car running down the road. It slipped, turned over backwards, struck a tree. Young blonde-headed girl had broken her back. Seen the little car just slide into it. And I said, I seen a green car slid into a tree. And a young blonde-headed girl, about 18 years old, has a broken back. She's in serious condition. No one responded. I couldn't see her anywhere. It was a vast audience of people. Stood there just a few minutes. I said, understand, don't be suspicious. It's the Lord Jesus in the power of his resurrection. He has sent the Holy Ghost to continue his work. And that Holy Ghost is still here to continue his work. Hallelujah! And there's power in this commission. Hallelujah! I'm not relying on my own ability. I'm relying upon the same one William Branham relied upon. He said, I've seen a vision happen over again. I couldn't see the young woman standing right there in front of me. Stood that light you seen on the picture. It stood there. I walked up there and I said, she laid down right below the platform. I said, young lady, the Lord Jesus has made you well. She started to cry. Her mother said, oh no, don't tell her to get up. If she moves, she'll die. By that time, the young lady jumped to her feet, screaming and praising God. And the mother fainted and fell on the cot that the girl was lying in. Hallelujah. He said, what is it? Who was it? He said, who was that? He said, just about that time, some critical man raised up in the back and stood 1 foot on one seat and the other and said, you American, I challenge you to tell me, what name do you do this in? What denominational church do you belong to? It's just the same. They don't understand. They're not looking for these things. The church are not looking for the coming of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here confirming His Word to bring it to pass. So much each one wants to take his own way. That's the way it is there. Each group has their own ideas. But that's not the question tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. The question is, who do you think this is? So who has commissioned you? Thereby, if you know who's commissioned you, you know what power you have. Amen. Who is it speaking? No man could do these things. Who is it speaking and saying to the people in the audience that's sitting right here and there, over there in different places of the meeting, when men and women are brought here dying, who is it? That young woman that walked into the baptistry this morning, about that 3 weeks ago, dying with cancer, lives right here on Maple Street, Miss Bate. I believe that's how you pronounce it, B-A-E-T-E, Bate. And I asked these three doctors that was with her, and she didn't have one chance to live with four or five little children, and my mother trying to take care of them. Mama said, Bill, she'll never come home again. I went in there where she was, and the Lord Jesus spoke, thus saith the Lord. If she will go to the church and promise to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and will serve God, she'll go home well. I asked her, will you do this, lady? She said, all that you say, I will do. Ooh, what a response. We want deliverances in our life. All he has said, will you do it? All that you say, I will do. And immediately the pain's left. And 3 days later, she was home and the doctors couldn't find one trace of cancer in her. Who is this that cometh in the name of the Lord? Who is it? It is the Holy Spirit of God. What's your opinion of it? What's your opinion? said, people's from out of town sitting with epilepsy. Here sits a man somewhere in here, a Mennonite brother, right there suffering with epilepsy. Never knew him, seen him, nothing about it. All of a sudden, about 2 years ago, I guess something there, 2 years, the Spirit called it. Said, thus saith the Lord, and he's never had a spell since. Who is it? Amen. Who is it? Listen to him. He ain't pointing nobody to himself. Who is it? This woman was sitting here last Sunday, the last time I was here, come down from Illinois. Next day with a great tumor in her body that was malignant. Some of the best medical science of Illinois was taking her to the great clinic to be operated on Monday. And she squeezed her way in. Never seen her, heard her way in my life. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and told her who she was, where she came from, where she's going to be operated the next day. How many was there then that seen that? Amen. Seeing the news flow back the next day when she went to the doctor, they took her from clinic to clinic and couldn't find a trace of it. Who is this? Oh God, be merciful. Who is this that's doing this? He said, would you dare say it's your pastor? Never. Could you dare say a man had anything to do with this? Never. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that was on our Lord Jesus is coming to unite himself to his church. Is so close that he's spreading forth his great holy light to redeem and bring into fellowship a church of the living God for a rapture that's near at hand. He said, who is it? I can't answer your question. Listen to him. I can't answer your question. I can't answer for you, but I can answer for myself. Listen, young people. Comes the time you become to the age of accountability. Your parents can't answer that question for you. Am I going to make it? Am I going to be there? Am I one of his? You have to answer the question yourself. Branham says, he said, over this sacred desk tonight in the ears of this company, the purchase of the blood of our Lord Jesus, I say this from the bottom of my heart. Not because that I'm one of you, not because that I'm just somebody different, not one of the redeemed, but just one of the redeemed that's washed by the blood. I believe that that same light that hangs in this church tonight is the same one, shows it by nature, and it's Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to answer the question for myself. This is who it is. Anyone who knows the scripture knows that Jesus said, I came from God and I go to God. Before he was made flesh, when he was in Moses in the wilderness, he was a pillar of fire. And when Moses decided to see him, he passed his back parts to him. Moses said, it looks like a man. But when he was there on earth, he was a man. He'd done the very same things he's doing through today through men that he's redeemed. There he comes and have his picture taken. What is it? After his death, burial, resurrection, Paul on the road to Damascus saw a light again. And what did he say? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus. I come from God. I went back to God. I returned to God. But on that revelation, that sacred sand, one time in that place, man can never be the same again. You're talking about getting, that's where you get your commission. On the backside of a desert, receiving the Holy Ghost. When all the other things are burned out of you. All your doubts are burned out, and your fear and your unbelief is burned out, and your self is burned out, and your self-will is gone, and you're burned out of yourself so he can come down and commission you. Amen. That you can go forth in his name. And when he does that, there's no more question. The reason why we see the questions today is because it's coming from men who's never been on the backside of the desert. Oh, they had a religious feeling. They had a religious workup. They had a religious raise of the hands and sing and shout, but they've never experienced the supernatural for themselves. They've seen other people experience it at camp meetings in this church and other places. They've seen it, but they've never had it for themselves. This is why doubts can come back up. Who is this? Well, they don't have the experience. They don't have the answer. Because all they know is their theology that some church has made. Not to know theology is life. To know the Bible is life. To know Him is life. To know Him as your personal Savior, as one who has filled you with His presence. You were there when it happened. Hallelujah. Amen. You think you could ever tell that boy whose leg all of a sudden popped down 6 or 8 inches that it didn't happen? You think you could ever tell that little girl who was laying there with a broke back and the presence of God hit her and she jumped up completely well that it never happened? Do you think you can tell me that I've experienced the presence of God and God has come down in my life that has never happened? No, sir. And neither can that devil tell you. But you know whom you have believed and have fully persuaded that He is able to do that what you have asked. You have been commissioned. And if it's your lot to go down to the grave, I might as well take a few devils with me. I'm not going to die a wimp. I'm not going to fade out or burn out. I'm going to go out as a flame of fire. Who is this perform these miracles? Who is it that's doing these great works? Is it the preacher? He says that, Brother Branham says, that Oral Roberts, that Billy Graham, that Jack Shuler, that William Branham, whoever it may be, they have nothing to do with it. They're instruments. It's the Holy Ghost coming forth with gospel and signs and wonders and miracles to make ready a people that the air is charged with expectation when believers are expecting Him to come. And others are saying, why? These revivals, why don't we have it? Let's just settle down to a church. Well, it's been said in church right here that when we start a new church, we don't need... Listen to him. Let me stop for a moment, take a minute. He said, it's been said in church right here. When we started to build a new church, we don't need miracles. We don't need these things anymore. He said, you want them? You go on out on the field where they happen. We don't need them here. When the Branham Tabernacle stoops to that low place, it's sunk. This church is founded upon the principles and the power and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as this tabernacle stands, may the glorious Holy Spirit find access to souls to save and fill with the Holy Ghost and heal the sick. To me, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I ask you, soldiers, tonight, who's commissioned you? Who's giving you the commission to go forward and to preach the gospel? You said, me, I ain't a preacher. Yeah, you're to preach the gospel and use words if you have to. Amen. To cast out devils. Me, I'm just a little mother. You're to lay hands upon the fever brow of your child and tell that devil to get out of here. Fathers, you're to take control of the situations in your home. I told our young people, and I said, it's really a shame. I told our young people, we was talking about it last night. I said, I'll get to the part that I'm speaking about, but to back it up just a moment. I said, you know, you may be the only one that can throw a lifeline to another young person. It may not be the preaching of the word. I'm sure the atmosphere, it humbles them. It gets them in that place, and no doubt. And they're fighting against it. But it might be a young person that goes, puts their arm around another young person. And just says, I love you. I said, because to be honest with you, many times, young people know more about other young people than parents know about their young people. Because if parents really knew about their young people, they would do everything they could do to get them into the presence of God. Every chance there was. But we kind of get in this cloud. We're our own little world, us fathers and daddies and mothers. We're oblivious to the blood and the guts that's going on around us. And Satan's after their very soul. It's time we wake up. Just feel to say that way tonight. It's time we wake up and we realize what's going on in our own homes. And we take command as a son of God. Not a beast, as a son of God. And we realize the seriousness of the hour. Let's bow our heads. I want to bring this down to a serious moment. Serious moment. Maybe just play that flow through me, Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard your name called tonight. Told you where you was at. Your turn to do a little wiggling. You're going to be like that leper. You say, what are we going to do here? Lay here till we die? There's young ladies here that's been told you're worthless. You don't belong. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. Nobody's worried about you. But I tell you tonight, I care. Not only do I care, God cares. He's seen what you've done in your secret chambers. There's some prodigals that's here tonight. How about you? Do you want to do a little wiggling? Get off that deathbed? If you lay there, you're going to die. You stay there. You're at death's door. How about you tonight? You say, that's me, Brother Timothy. I've been called out. I want to do some wiggling. I want to move off this deathbed. Feel like my back's broke. Feel like I ain't even got the strength in my legs. Keep trying. Keep wiggling. There's power in this word to set you free. It's time to do more than just cry a few tears of repentance. It's time to die out. Die to the world. That's the way to die. Don't die in the devil's arms. But die to the world. Die out to Jesus Christ.
There's power in this word to set you free. As we sing this chorus tonight, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. If you want to wiggle a little bit, say, I got to get out of this thing, Brother Timothy. I can't stay here. Why don't you come up here and let us lay hands upon you? Don't lay there till you die.
Jesus. Oh, take me, Jesus, take me now, and I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender. Oh, make me Savior, holy life. Let me feel the whole. Oh, let me truly know that Thou art mine, and I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. Oh, I surrender all, and I surrender all. I
God. Our God.